I can remember Peter Lambert. I remember him quite. He was quite a character, and I was a younger man, and it was quite a sort of strong committee at the time. Bert Saunders, and I can never remember the name of the chap who used to do the membership, the money, the bloke who does the boat, sails a boat.
Do you mean Roger Lane?
Roger Lane.
Yeah.
Well, he's still around.
He's still around.
He got married about 6 years ago.
Maybe
longer, actually. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it'd been about 1973, 74 when I joined. And I saw the drive through Harpenden on a weekend afternoon, saw the exhibition, and we went and had a look round, and Bert Saunders grabbed me and walked me round and talked to me, and I came out a paid up member, and that's been ever since. So God knows how long ago that is.
I joined around about the same time, about 69, 71.
No, I think you were about before me.
About 71, I think I joined. So might have been 69.
Mm.
Good Lord, when I think we had Bert Saunders and all the group down the lake with their boats, and we was running the railway track, and there was Davey come down just as a lad. and even Malcolm. I mean, he was a young lad then. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, Malcolm must have lots of long memories.
Yeah. Although Malcolm tells me he dropped out for a few years and then joined again.
He dropped out to go rallying, didn't he?
Car rally.
Yeah, but you go back for a long while, don't you, Noel?
I do, but I've got a lot of memories. My word, if you think, you know, I think I was probably selfish a bit with the family, you know. Got two daughters, and there's me out nearly every weekend. But there again, running the track, putting the track up and that, they was able to come, and they enjoyed it as well. I mean, I even took the portable track to when they went to the primary school and ran it there. I ran Molly. Yeah. I've got a photo of you, you won't be able to see that.
Can I just ask you a question? Well, you remember when they took the track up to Scotland?
I think I was a member then, actually, because I remember them talking about it.
No, it was American airbase, and I think for some reason they saw it. And it's an American airbase up in Scotland, and they took the track up there, and the American paid for everything, the overnight stay and this, that, and the other. They paid for everything, but I wasn't a member then. I think that must have been before 68, because I moved here in 68, and I think I joined the society either 69 or 70, so it was before then.
Thing is, the club never made much money then. I mean, you didn't charge much at all for the track going out and that.
But it had enough money for its purposes.
I just wondered if you remember that.
Because you didn't have to pay all the insurances we pay now. We have directors' insurance, public liability insurance, workshop insurance. Insurances are a big sum, and they've got more and more expensive.
Mm. Yeah, they would have done. But like everything else.
Yeah.
That's right.
And our Gazette.
Yeah.
Was somebody did, I don't never remember the name of that system. It's pre Ronio. It was that heavy chalk paper, and it was a purple or a red, and it was like a dye line thing, and it used to come sort of half a piece of paper stapled, and there was a chap who used to do cartoons in it.
Yeah, that was Dick Cut. That was
Dickie Deal.
Cuts,
I think. Yeah,
he was our president.
Yeah.
Used to do the cartoons. I've still got some of his cartoons at home.
I threw all those old Gazettes out a few years ago now. I wish I hadn't.
Well, don't worry. I've got a lot. Well, I had a lot, and I passed them on to one of our club members. I can't remember who's got them. So somebody's got them. But I've got a feeling that Roger Lane's got virtually everything from number one. But when you joined Noel, you said you got called under Fleet Air Arm.
Yeah.
What did you do there?
I was an air mechanic, airframes.
What aircraft did you work on?
Well, when I was called up, everyone went in the Fleet Air Arm. I wanted to go in the Navy because I'd done 5 years. I learnt a lot in the Sea Cadets, 5 years.
Yeah.
I really did. They tried twice. Put me in the RAF up in the Fleet Air. And of course there were so many of us, we were stationed at various stations. I finished up at Leon Solent, HMS Daedalus.
What made you join the actual society then, Guy? What made you join the society?
I can't remember now. I was always interested in modern engine, but going back during the latter part of the war and afterwards, I was a leading hand in the tool room, and there were several others that were interested in modelling, and they earmarked me to go and talk to the works manager to see if we could use the tool room repair shop. Couple of evenings a week, and that's how we started. I started, but I can go back to when I lived in Paris. I must have been about 7 or 8, and I went to French school. I remember we were doing the Roman history, and part of that was this siege gun.
I can imagine guns. Yeah.
Was it called? And I made this siege gun. And I'll do more damage with that with me toy soldiers than anything. I remember doing that, so I think I've always been involved in making things since my memory with me, you know. And I really started when I was about 16 or 17, I suppose, I really started serious stuff then. And I say, we've got this permission to work there. And I built my first locomotive in the works of Mold Engineering Society. And there was only 6 of us in it. And I built my first 0602 and a half inch loco. So that's when I built that. And I built, followed up with Titch. And since then I've built all sorts of things, you know, but that was the start of it all. I remember the first one I ever started steam was an oscillated engine, which I got a bit of tubing. And I soft-soldered an end on it, made a piston and a crank, and I hoped it would run, but no good at all. So it was like a lot of work went into building.
So you were doing things on your own for about 15 or 20 years before you joined the society then?
Yeah, it was about I moved here in 68. I belonged to Harrow and Wembley Society prior to that. Belonged to that society. When I moved here, I still belong to it. And then when I took the grandchildren down the park, they're only toddlers, so I took them around the park because there was a boating event on.
Yeah.
And I got novelled by Peter Lambert.
Nippy, yeah.
And signed the form there and then. So that must have been around about 69, 70, I can't remember exactly the date. It wasn't 71, because 71 I spent most of the year working in Spain for the company, and so it was before then. But again, I mean, when the track was built, I was in and out of this country more than I was in. I got fed up with flying. Sometimes 3 or 4 times a week I'd be flying off to somewhere or other. And I got sick and tired of it, and that's when the track was being built around about that time, and I couldn't take part in that. Harpenden.
That was a good exercise. There was a work where we did the track up at Harpenden.
But that's another thing you mentioned down the lake. I mean, it's always lake to me, not a park or Verulam. It's always the lake. But you see, in them days, they clean that lake out.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. They can't even be bothered to do that now.
Well, the August bank holiday regatta was a real big do.
I've put in
to foreigners and all sorts.
I've put some bits there where we had the foreigners go down there and what's name? He's had a plane going around there, 100 mile an hour. Terrific.
Yeah, I've got some pictures of Harpenden.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, I didn't bring the one of Harpenden. Would you believe?
Yeah, you've got some of Harpenden.
I've got one or two photos here.
When we were running Harpenden, he knows this story. There was a teenage girl, wasn't she? Do you remember her? What was her name?
The little girl.
Yeah, what was her name?
You mean Yvette?
Yvette. Little tiny little girl. Yvette.
And she was mad keen on locomotion. And I took a photograph of her because I let her drive mine before I let some of the blokes in, because she really was interested and knew what to do.
Sensible.
So I let her drive my engine round. She came round. I took a photograph of her and I sent it to her. And she was at university at the time, but when she came home for holiday, she rang and said how lovely it was to have the photograph. And who did she marry?
Married an engineer.
He was something to do with preserved railway. She was a lovely kid.
Really nice, so enthusiastic
for a girl, you know. That's what it sticks in your memory.
Yeah.
You see, one thing I regret is I never used to take a camera and photo.
No.
And that would have been good if I could have had lots and lots of photos, but I just didn't do that.
Don't forget that to take a photograph in those days,
any dates on
cost
these,
money.
No.
Well, yeah. It was quite an expensive hobby.
It wasn't one of my things, quite honestly. Yeah.
Remember the steaming bay?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a nice picture.
Oh, yeah, it was. Good one.
That chap in the overall, he went to Australia.
Dan Keane.
He was quite a keen member, but he went off to Australia.
Yeah.
I must tell you a story about the when we joined the carnival. We had the trailer all decorated up with models on it, and that was it to Dave. David's traction three. He had a 3-inch traction engine at the time, and we met at this garage and got the thing decorated and steamed up, and we drove to Barnard's Heath. And then we joined the carnival and came down. But a few days before, I said to David, when you come down that hill, down Oywell Hill, your engine's got to stay level. So if you'd have seen us a few days before, it was David and I up Oywell Hill, I think nearly what used to be the seed hall, I think that's where it was.
Yeah, I know.
And there was him, me, the level, measuring
the drop, yeah.
The height, the difference. And because what we had to do, when we got the stuff at the top of the hill, we had to stop. And David made up a peg or something, I can't remember that. And we had to lift the front of the engine up, take this peg out, so it left the wheels behind, and then put the peg back in, so the engine was now like this. Because when you went down the hill, it was straight again.
You still had water over the firebox.
And then we came up St Stephen's Hill, up to the crossroads of King Harry, and by Christ did it bark. And more ash came out of that chimney than you can think. Really barking up the gun that hill. Because up to then it had all been flat work, you know.
Yeah.
But then we drove it across Long King Harry Lane, and there's a gap in the road there near the Roman Wall. There's a path, and we drove through there and went right across the park to the boat, where the boating day. And then to the club was all over there boating. Yeah, so it's quite a memorable day, really.
Just my dear.
So actually, there's a sort of blank knoll round about. I mean, I've got that stuff going back to 1985 sort of time. But when Peter Lambert was in charge, I know that some of his minutes were very sparse. Because I don't know where it is now, but I remember a minutes book where it would say, like, during
meeting...
They were
destroyed, I understand. Mm. Is that right?
Is what, sorry?
Minutes were all destroyed.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to Carnarvon Castle.
Well, actually, Mary had... When Peter died, Mary has it in her loft, right? And she then asked if anybody wanted to finish it, and there was a very sort of quiet moment there in the club. And she then got a professional, and he wanted... a year's salary, basically, to do it. And so it's never got done, and I imagine if it's still there, it's just going rusty. It was only tin plate, it wasn't anything great. But, I mean, the engine itself...
So they're all lifted out.
Yeah, but that was actually... Although it looked like a compound, it wasn't. It was just a simple... It was just actually steamed up as a simple...
Two-cylinder, wasn't it?
It wasn't a compound.
Just a straightforward two-cylinder.
Yeah, and... So I don't know where that is, unless Roger's got it. Roger might well have it. He had a lot of the stuff with us that way.
If I remember that, it was a nice hull, or a nice hull and structure, the ship itself.
Uh-huh.
Never saw. I don't think I ever saw it underwater.
No, I don't think it did get that.
It became a joke, didn't it, in the club?
Yeah, it was, yes. Yeah.
It was going on so long, we said, oh yeah, it was another Nirvana. Anything that took a bit of time says, oh yeah, it's a Carnarvon Castle.
Yeah. Before that then, Noel, what do you remember about what used to happen, what the club did? Who was, do you know of any other, apart from Peter Lambert and...
Bert Saunders.
Bert Saunders, do you know of any, were there any other...
There was Ken Simmons.
Yeah.
There was Frank Kroll that used to do a lot with us up at the workshop.
Bill Thrale.
At Glen Armand, but oh, Bill, he was wonderful. Bill,
cause Bill Thrale.
We used to have all our dinners at that barn and the.
That cafe in...
The main barn, because the little barn was built later on.
Didn't they have meetings in the cafe in the town?
Yeah, that's where we started. It's still there.
The cafe's still there. I've never been in it.
And they tell me it's still the same size, and it's unbelievable.
It's a tiny place, isn't it?
Narrow. And there used to be a dozen of us sitting. In there, it's so small.
Oh, is that? Like, I've never been in. No.
You haven't? No.
I think I've been in there, but I don't know which one it was.
One of my nephews said his wife worked there for a while, and she said it hasn't even changed after all these years. I was trying to think of the other members, but...
I can't remember. I mean, that was all those people before my time.
You know. Roger Lane, didn't you?
Yeah.
Roger... It was like, because he was...
And his father was...
Not to do with the boats, you see.
Wasn't his father...
I don't remember father.
I think his father was mayor, wasn't he, or something?
Was he really?
I remember young Simon when he was a teenager. Do you remember young Simon? Simon.
David Saunders' son.
Yeah.
Bert Saunders' grandson, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, Bert Saunders' grandson.
I didn't even know for years he got any family. I didn't even know David was married. They lived in Beechwood Avenue, you see, in them days. Do you remember Frank Kroll?
No.
You wouldn't remember him, I don't think.
Before my time. All those names.
I met Ken Hyder, but...
Yeah. You did? Yeah, he was the one, he was.
We only overlapped about a year, I think.
Really?
Was anybody else? Because I can't quite piece together the actual, who was secretary and
what was his
Roger name? Lane? Or wasn't Roger Lane secretary at one time?
He's never mentioned it.
I can't remember Roger. Do you know his name?
Treasurer, as far as I remember.
He could have been treasurer. I remember
giving him Cunningham. Do you know, I can't remember that other secretary that come in.
We had someone, there was something named, was it something West or West? Because when I joined the committee, there was somebody who was actually on the committee but never turned up for meetings. And they said, oh, well, you know, he's not coming, so we've got a vacancy. So,
you say West. We used West, to have Westbury come and give talks.
Edgar Westbury.
Yeah, I know Westbury, yeah.
He used to come
Edgar Westbury,
up to the little calf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Westbury.
Roger Lane was the treasurer, wasn't he, when I joined?
He was treasurer,
I
think.
Yeah, he would be, yeah.
Roger, not secretary, yeah.
I remember Greenhouse giving a talk to the club one evening.
Oh, yeah,
we used to have some very good
greenhouse
model engineers and that. Well,
I remember, I can't remember if it was an exhibition, but there were three ladies, I think my wife was one of them, and he was talking about his parrot. And he said, we had to teach it to fly, so they all looked at him. He says, yeah, he says, we put him on a chair and pushed him off. He's a right old smoothie, wasn't he? Like?
Oh dear.
And but he did have a parrot. But he went down to his place on a couple of times, and there's a bloody parrot. They couldn't stop yakking, so he just put a hood over it, like the cage.
Was that Westbury or Greenhouse? Was that Westbury or Greenhouse?
Greenhouse, I think.
Greenhouse. We went up in the well, it was a loft, but it'd been obviously been converted, and you'd never seen so many planes hanging down from strings up in that loft. Model aircraft, you know, loads and loads and loads.
I think he used to go in for that. There was a particular competition for how high you could get. I think it was. With a rubber-ploughed aeroplane.
Yeah.
But I've never seen so many planes in one place, model planes. I went down there with my wife, and we had tea down there. It was quite pleasant, you know. I can't remember why we went down there.
Very good outings, haven't we, over the years.
And
very good outings.
I remember David Saunders used to drive it.
He was
very good. Of course, he got the cheap bus. Well, it cost us better, didn't it? On diesel.
That's right.
Mind you, it was bloody uncomfortable, wasn't it?
Wasn't it something?
It was a school bus, basically.
Yeah.
You're all up like this.
Yeah. Yeah. How come you started model engineering then, Noel?
Well, I didn't. To be honest, I haven't done a lot of modelling. I mean, I helped Father Danny's workshop with what he was doing, and then I made the cruiser, the cabin cruiser, and then I went on to different other things, but not that, you know. I'm into 3D puzzles.
Really?
Who's got your dad's body now?
Hugh's got that.
Who?
Hugh. You know Hugh in the club, he had Molly. But he renamed it.
Yeah. I know, he sent me a book, didn't he? Yeah.
There's a book published on Mercers, about Mercers.
Oh, yeah.
And Mercers are their clockmaking. And there's a picture of his dad in there.
Yeah.
And I thought it was Noel. I saw it first. When I showed it to Noel, he said, no, it's not me.
I used to deal with them when I was at work, in the entrance hall they had a glass case of the locomotive in, didn't they? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember that.
They had what?
Glass case with the locomotive.
Because I say I used to deal with them through the works, you know, because they were in the gauging and that sort of thing. But in their engine tool, there was a cast case with a locomotive in it. Now, imagine Mercer was involved at one time.
Could have been.
Can you remember if they were or not?
Well, I used to go with my father to Mercer's house because he lived in Park Street,
yeah.
Mercer.
Yeah.
Just go under the bridge by the playing field and turn left. That's this.
What'd you go to his house for?
Dad went for some reason, and I went with him.
I'm sorry, it's that's the only thing I know of Mercer. When I saw this locomotive, when I remembered it, I thought, I wonder if he was a member of St Albans at one time. One of the Mercers, because it was a family concern, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you find them interesting, Peter? Those
yes.
Different clocks is unbelievable. I thought.
That clock there, I can't remember that.
He made six of those.
Yeah.
There's your dad?
Reef. No, that's a clock.
Yeah, I know.
He made six of those.
Yeah.
They all went to America, but I understand one's back in one of our museums now.
There's a bloke down in Tetbury called Jake Sutton who makes these clocks, or he's made about half dozen. Sold them, and the cases are predominantly glass. He used a lot of glass in the case. But if you hadn't given me the picture, I'd have said that was one of Jake Sutton's clocks.
Really?
Yeah. Quick glass. Dials almost identical. Yeah. And he sold them to the Financial Times, which is mentioned here. He advertised them in the Financial Times. They had a lot of money each.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some interesting people in the society in the past,
isn't it? Do you remember the man who had the gun on his back, on his warship?
I only saw it on the lake, and he's a radio control, and the gun just a swivel and then followed, didn't
That's
it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I can't remember his name.
He was a major, wasn't he?
No, don't know.
He
wasn't a member of the club, was he?
I think he was a visitor, we used to have boats in those days.
I've got vague memories of him helping out.
We were digging the
track out. I certainly remember him on the lake with the guns barking off,
yeah.
You know. Because as I recall, the guns swiveled, and I think the signal went up the masthead, didn't it?
I can't remember now.
Can't remember the details now.
I just remember the guns used to fire, which I thought was absolutely amazing. Do you remember when we did the exhibition at Wembley, I think it was? It was a special anniversary, and we did a wooden hut with one side taken out.
It's actually at Olympia, I think.
Is it Olympia?
It would be...
We got Olympia and then we did go to the other one. It was 50 years, wasn't it? I remember it. Can you remember when we won the cup at the Alexander Palace? We ran it 3 years running, didn't we?
The one that it was the model engineer engine exhibition, not the Alexander Palace one. Our name's on that trophy more than anybody else. it's on about 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Do you remember we went to Crystal Palace, didn't we?
I don't remember Crystal Palace.
I don't think it was ever at Crystal Palace.
Before my time, no.
Alexandra Palace.
Alexandra Palace, yeah.
It burnt down in 1934, didn't it? Or 1935.
Do you remember Ken Cheeser?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He was the one that built one of the exhibitions which we won. He built the...
Roundhouse.
Round table with models on. And then the next layer, and then the top layer, and these were rotated anti-clockwise.
That was
all driven with a hot air engine.
That was Malcolm Beak.
No,
Malcolm Beatmaker.
Oh, and with Chen Chi.
Yeah, it was a rim drive on the rim drive on the bottom layer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 No, sorry, that was Malcolm Beatmaker, but he and Ken Cheeser were very, very close actually at the time, so I'm thinking Ken Cheeser was involved in it as well.
Yeah.
And the other one that Ken Cheeser did, I think, was the roundhouse with locos coming out.
Yeah, that was good, that was. And it was all made out of cornflakes packets.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear what used to happen?
And do you remember the workshop we had up there?
Yeah,
the exhibition.
Yeah, that was what I was talking about.
Brian Lambert had a lot to do with
that. That was a shed with one side
one side missing.
Yeah. An old fret. There was an old treadle fret saw in there.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a picture post magazine pinned to the wall.
And I'll tell you another thing that I can't remember who did it now, but it was an exhibition. And on the stage, there was a street with houses and that, all across the front of the stage. But when you got round the back, it was all Kellogg's and Weetabix boxes.
Well, this is actually the round.
And I took a photograph of it.
Yeah.
And we sent it up to Weetabix. And a few months later, there was a knock on the door and a bloody great box arrived full of various breakfast cereals, which I had to sort of
You actually, when you went to a committee meeting, you had to take at least one box away from you. There were so many.
There were
60 odd boxes there were. Those little ones, individual ones.
Yeah.
But that was Ken Cheeser and his mate. Do you remember his mate? They were always paired together. And they made this round house, as you said, from cornflakes packets. And they took a photograph of the front and one at the back, showing what it was. And they got the turn like that.
Good another name. We went to
a German. They made box for the car.
Bert Cook.
Yeah, Bert Cook.
Bert Cook was another one, wasn't he?
He was the one that made that school's loco, wasn't he?
He made all sorts of locos.
Yeah, beautiful loco, that.
Bert Cook. There were two Cooks, wasn't there?
Yeah, his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kerber, we used to see a lot. But his brother we didn't see so often.
That's right. Yeah.
But they were very close, those two, as brothers.
Yeah. See, when I look back at my school days, I mean, woodwork and gardening was my thing. You never had the machine that they do, the workshops they have now. You know, you never had that in schools.
Well, safety's killed all that in schools, hasn't it?
When I got married, it was making furniture, wardrobes and goodness knows what, ottomans. I made a lot, you know.
When I joined, in as I say, it must have been about 81, I think it was, probably about August time, something like that. It was a bit clicky. There was Bert and Peter Lambert and one or two others, and if you came in new, you sat at the back and you wondered what you'd joined. And you didn't come back, you know. It was a bit clicky. It
took a long time.
It did. It did take a long while.
It's still, I have to say, I think we're still like that.
Uh-huh.
I think what you need to do is to have a person detailed off to accompany any new member for the first couple of visits.
Yeah.
And with the objective of showing him around and introducing to people, finding out what he's interested in and making sure that you introduce him to a couple of people who have got the same interest. And the other club I belong to were quite strong about that.
I 100% with you, actually.
Yeah. And that it's still, you still will get knots of groups of men together for some reason, because they will sort of gel together, they'll be friends. You'll always get that.
I always thought the best meetings were when a club member stood up front.
Yeah, I think they still are.
Yeah.
We had a very good meeting, I thought, last week or the week before with Brian.
Yeah, I think they're always the best.
Yeah. I thought he was very good.
Very good.
Very good. I thought he spoke
well. Two others, but
I've worked on him for 6 months to come and talk to us.
Well, not everybody's happy about talking, Roy. Yeah, some people.
I said to him, look, I'll be up there with you, and eventually he agreed. And then he phoned me up 3 days after his talk. He said, you've cured me, Roy. I'm all right now. Standing up, talking to me.
It was a good talk. I mean, if you're going to be picky about it, you could have prepared it better, but I thought it was very good.
I told
and
him
it was good to have somebody from the club talking. Yeah.
I told him what to do, and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
But he will know next time. He's going to come and talk to us again.
Easy.
He is. But I mean, told him I'll tell you exactly how to do it, and he said, okay.
I have to... I thought I was a bit nuts trying to make 4 Ds, but he got... It made me look like a one-off.
Yeah. And he actually is more of a builder than he is... he doesn't much go out and run them all. He just sort of keeps building. He just likes that. I mean, he does more boat sailing than the like.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to say, when I've finished a model, that's the end of it. I don't really have a lot of interest in it from there. The fun to me is making it.
Yeah. Running is
part with them, though.
I always find.
I've been giving them out to the kids.
No, really, interesting as building them. You know, just a little story about. Do you remember Bernard Lambert?
Yeah.
We did there was a water carnival at Welling and the lakes.
Oh yeah.
And we put the track up on and ran up and down. Two young ladies. They had a negligee, bra, panties, and black stockings. Walking around, you couldn't do it today, I don't think, walking around collecting for some charity. And they made a fortune from the blokes, I'll tell you that. And Bob Bernard Lambert was sitting at the end of the track, and he nodded off. They tapped him on his shoulder, and he woke up, and there were these two young ladies standing there. I think he thought his all his birthdays had come apart. I couldn't stop laughing the way he's fine.
You wondered where he was.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny, that was. That's some funny moments.
Because he was a good bloke to have in the club was David Saunders.
Mm.
David was particularly for people who weren't really engineers.
Mm.
I don't know if David ever made any of his own, or whether he just...
I don't think he did.
I think...
Yes, he did. He made a mini traction engine.
Yeah.
That's about all, yeah. But he was fully into it. Well, of course, he inherited his dad's stuff.
He got all his dad's workshops, hadn't he?
That's
right. He had Juliet and whatever.
He had that... what do you call it? The engine... The boiler with the engine underneath it... Statement
job, undertype. Funny, we always used to have committee meetings, but never in Bert Saunders' house. We'd go all around the valley, Bertie's out, not Bert Saunders.
Really? A lot has happened in the years gone by, isn't it? Loads of things.
It was those August, they were a real high point of the year, weren't
they? I mean, there's an enormous amount of history in the society, really, when you think about it.
It's been going a few years. I mean, when did it start? 1947, something like that?
What year was it formed, the society?
Well, it must have been 47, I joined up 46 and they were still meeting at Dad's house then. So it probably took a time to form, you know. I mean, they were going meeting for a good, 12 months,
okay, I suppose.
At Dad's house and that was it. Exactly when it started, I couldn't tell you because I wasn't there.
Do you remember when they used to put the track up in the tennis courts around the corner?
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah, of course we did.
Now, that's before my time. They used to put it up in the tennis court, didn't they?
Yeah. As I say, when you think the work we did in them days, and there was very few of us.
Mind you,
it was like usual. It's the same.
That track, wasn't it?
Always like we know
that track.
Yeah.
I mean, that was bloody hard work.
Was
that? Bloody heavy, that track.
Oh, bloody hell!
Going up to Glen Almond.
Oh.
That was.
You got up there on the Saturday or Sunday morning to pick it up out of that garage shed place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was bloody heavy.
It was up high, wasn't it?
It was sound, but Christ, it was hard work.
Boys.
Who'd have thought in those days we'd make, what was it, £8,000 on the exhibition?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a few guys' salaries, wasn't it, back
then? That was a bloody lot of money, that was, yeah.
It's a fair bit now, actually.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But I've actually got, by chance, I meant to bring it with me, when I joined, we used to have our exhibitions in May, and I think it continued like that when I joined, so in the early 80s, they were in May, and they used to choose, ahead of time, of course, they would actually choose the... football final or something like that. The FA Cup final. That would be, and you think, yeah, they're going to come out to your exhibition. But the timings were funny, like Thursday, Friday, and pack up on Saturday afternoon or something weird. I don't know whose idea it was, but that was at half of the
news.
And I got this poster, and it was saved by chance because Dickie Beale used it to draw a boat on the other side. And so I found it when we cleared Dickie Deal's stuff, and I turned it over, and I thought, oh my God, this was 1981, this was, as I remembered it. And at the bottom, it was like concessions if you show your pension book, and it was like 40p. It was sort of very cheap.
Well, when Bert Saunders was alive, it wouldn't have anything other than St Albans.
That's right.
As an exhibition.
Yeah.
If St Albans exhibition, it wouldn't have any other club there at all. Yeah. No, it's St Albans exhibition, that's it.
But times have changed. So, and those exhibitions, when he was at Harpenden, I was thinking of particularly, they weren't really for children.
No, not
at all. Whereas our exhibition now is great for kids.
It's great for kids now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we sort of, if you remember, we started putting up, we used to have the AA put signs up for it.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah.
And then we realised that actually...
They didn't take them down. They because the first year I did it, I did that with Michael Dyer.
Yeah.
And we went over and got the signs made. When we went to put them up, half of them hadn't been taken down. We went through all sorts of hoops with the
highway
people. And in fact, we eventually got to know the highway bloke and he was over at Wenning. And he put us in touch with the chap who did the signs for us, who came up with the idea of doing it with the replacement date. So you don't use the same sign, just change the date every year. Yeah.
But we used to put up a sign that said St Norman's Model Engineering Exhibition, and nobody came. So we changed it to St Norman's Model Show with an outline of a puffer on it, and they came.
I thought it was a fashion show.
Well, that puffer was again this bloke who made the signs. It was his idea.
Yeah,
he used to be over the other side of Harpenden in an old barn. In a side of a farm, I think he's gone now. I don't know who does them now, but he was very useful. And he used to, he didn't charge us full whack for him in the first place, and he used to change them for us with the new date on a very reasonable price. Because Michael Dyer and I used to go over there, and we'd take him to lunch sometimes, and buy him a few pints. He was interested. He always came to the exhibition and come and have a look round. That was a nice day out I had every year for several years. Michael, I'd go and collect Michael because by that time his eyes were going and he couldn't drive properly. I used to collect him and go and drive over and get the signs done, then go and have lunch in the Bullet Wheat was dead.
I know, I think the first time, do you know the electric, the D8 diesel outline club
yeah.
loco there? I think we went down to Maxi Track, and I went down with Michael, and that was when he used to run his MG.
Oh yeah,
he loved his MG. He did, and we went down there, and we sort of like that. We say we stopped on the way back and had a meal sort of thing, and then we ordered it and said what we wanted and all the rest of it, and then when they said it was ready, we went down again, and I paid for the meal coming back. You know, that sort of thing. So yeah, we were nice. It's good company.
Very nice chap, Michael Dyer. I got to know him quite well because he only lives around the corner from me.
That's right, yeah.
So I used to see him quite a lot. And he'd, yeah.
We'll be at queues outside.
Yeah.
The only thing I did notice, there was a lot of toddlers or young people.
Yeah, but that's
good. Very few teenagers.
Well, we're going to work on that.
You know. That's where he wants to go. Roy's going to have a word with the.
We've got contact now.
Next time, haven't you?
I'm surprised he never got that group from the school.
Well,
because
frankly, I can't understand all this business like this. When if you make something, you've got something that you've made, you know. And there's a lot more satisfaction in that.
Yeah. It's all about image these days.
It's not the interest, though, in the young... The youngsters have got different views on things now, haven't they?
Well, the world's changed out of all.
It has changed, find it.
But I mean, to me, making something has always been, even as a toddler... Well, I can remember 6 or 7, like, trying to make things out of cardboard, you know, and bits of wood.
A lot don't seem interested in what you've made anyway.
I've got a feeling that? I heard things like this about me when I was young.
It's like, I mean,
the older ones.
I used to do oil paintings. And I can't do it now because I'm eyesight, but I got enormous satisfaction, not out of the money that I made out of it, but when somebody bought one of my pictures. Because somebody had bought something I'd
created.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to sell fairly regularly, even on the exhibitions around here. There's quite a few of my pictures around Hertfordshire. Roger Lane's one, hasn't he? I know that. I used to, go in these exhibitions and never used to make a lot of money, £25. £50 was the most, you know. And it wasn't the £50 I wanted. It was the fact that somebody had bought it, something I created, and they wanted it.
Yes.
And that was the... And then to me, that is all part of model engineering. You create something. You don't just fiddle about with the images on the screen.
Yes.
You actually create something, you know. Of course, all these craft things like woodwork and metal have stopped in schools, haven't they?
No, they haven't. No, they're back again.
Are they back again?
Well, they've certainly got.
Well,
I thought it was this health and safety that stopped it. No, in case a kid cut themselves. Well,
but my grandson made one of those tubal cane poly engine and bought it in my workshop, under my instruction, obviously. And he enjoyed doing it. And in the doing of it, I taught him to do things, and, taught him to do things properly. And he came home a couple of three times, really, well, not so much came home because he didn't live with us, but when I was there, he'd be really cross because at school they'd do something and they'd do it all wrong. He said, he put his foot in it by saying something. And but he's lost all interest. He sort of got to about 12, I suppose, and that was the end of it. Wanted to play football and poke keys on a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
But I was lucky. I did heat engines as an ONC endorsement at Tamworth Technical College.
I think a lot of mine came from that. My dad, because I don't know if I told you, but I spent I wasn't quite six, and I was 13 when I came back. I lived in Paris all that time. And my dad was always buying me Meccano, And I had stacks of
coal. You're a lucky boy.
Yeah.
It all had to be left behind too, for future collection, but never did get collected. Lots of other stuff, books and that. But I had stacks of. And I was always making something, and then breaking it down and making something else, you know.
That was a big disappointment I had. I was eventually given some McConaughey, and I was given this box at Christmas birthday, and I remember being really excited opening it, and there wasn't enough bits of metal in it. It didn't make anything. You know, it was a, I don't know, some sort of a set and a picture of a crane on the front. You just about make a very simple.
I was going to say,
Jupiter.
The kicks
were
very big ones.
They were pretty bloody mean. And I was really disappointed. And I never had a train.
Didn't.
And that's what Jan can't understand. Because really? I never had a train.
No, really.
But I was sent off to school when I was about 8. And so we never sort of...
Oh, right.
It was a bit different. Yeah, so I know a train set. And I always wanted a train set. And a few years ago now, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Jan bought me. Bored with it.
A
just
horny.
Going round and round and round. In fact, I had one friend over there. His father was something to do with the Brazilian embassy, and they had a flat. And we decided he had gauge one actually, and he decided one day we wouldn't have a circle. We'd put all the track down, lay it down straight. One. And unfortunately, one end, it ran into his mum's china cabinet and broke the glass. Well, I tell you what, you've never seen anything cleared up so quick as that was. And we were out of the flat, no time at all.
Yeah, Jan bought me the Hornby's, there's a Merchant Navy logo with a rake of Pullman carriages behind. In a proper box with red box with drawers in it with all this stuff in it, and she can't understand it because I get it out occasionally and sort of set it up and have a run with it, put it away, and I'm happy having it. Yeah. I've got trains there, and Jen doesn't understand that at all. Can't understand why I've got it out on the dining room table all the time. But
that's funny, isn't it?
But that led to a nice little hobby if you're not feeling too well. It's cold. Mm. You buy these kits, the Solard's card, that you can make buildings and stuff. It's like cardboard that they make cereal packets out of.
It's all printed. Card. It's printed and it's cut through. So you just
die cut out. Just press it out.
That's what I've just done. I've done a marble runner.
Have you got a marble runner?
And a clock. Oh, and right. This is what I was saying, you're supposed to scan it, but I manages, and would you believe, the clock says only about a third of people that make it actually works.
No, I think
one I'm doing now is, they call it a coffee house shop, and that's a pain. It doesn't even explain things as well as this other one did, and the bits don't join.
The others are
fitting together, you know, and you don't use any glue. It's just put together, and that's it. But this one I'm doing now, it's got, you can't fit the bits into each other. I did get one of my granddaughter's husband to come, and he showed me only one thing was I found. I just made it up myself.
Yeah. Which marble run have you got? I love those marble runs.
Well, I didn't realise till my granddaughter looked it up on her phone, and there's more than one
runner.
This was quite neat.
What's a marble run?
You just wind and
where'd you get
it? It takes marbles up, and then they come all dribbling down, do daft things, and then they go back and they go back up again.
Where'd you find these?
The thing is,
I can't do it because I'll lose this.
Roy, there's where it goes. There's five. It goes up.
Oh,
it's down,
that another one.
It goes up and down.
And
I thought they'd got that wrong because one of those that go up and down caught one out of the five had got a little lip. So when it come up, it caught
the other day, and I thought, designed this rug. It's quite neat, because the little thing is it gets to the drops down, and then it'll go one way round, and the other way it'll go different.
Well, if you go on the internet, and then look for marble runners, you can see some of the intricate ones where they join them all up together. Really? They're all laser cut. The gear wheels are laser cut. Everything is all cut out for you, and you just push it out and clip it in.
I've been fiddling around with the Arduino. I've got a little car with a little four-wheel drive car that I can control off my phone, and it's got a camera on it, which I can swing around, and the trouble is it's down there. And you get the picture up on the screen on the TV.
Yeah.
I've been learning how to operate stepper motors and variable speed drives on ordinary motors. Mm. And so it was with COVID was on, and I bought one of these Lego kits. Invested about 30 quid, really.
I bought a kit to build a Rainier rocket, a 4-0 thing. And instructions really might as well not bear them, because it says you get some lengths of wood, about quarter by quarter, that length, and that bit of wood is called part A. It says pick up part A and do this and that. Doesn't tell you what length you got to cut it to. Just starts sticking things on this thing, and the thing's only about this long.
Yeah.
And you've got a bit of wood this long. it doesn't say cut to, say, 6 inches or so many millimetres. Just pick up A and stick this and that on. I thought, what a bloody lot of rubbish. Mm. And then I've stuck it outside, though, so stay there. And it was, a lot of stuff was this card where it's partly pierced through and you push them out.
I've
done with those are called dinking tools in the trade, and that's how gloves were made at one time.
Oh right,
dinking tools.
Yeah, I've seen the
leather gloves. Yeah. And can you remember the time when they had the exhibition in the town hall, and they had to carry the stuff upstairs, and Bert Saunders on the balcony had a pretty great ooter. You kept blowing, and it was market day. You couldn't remember?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't use that all more than they did.
I'm talking about the proper town hall.
Yes, that's right.
That's white building.
Yes.
But we had a lot of the stuff had to be carried upstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
They sold the old museum.
Yep.
Most of that stuff's supposed to have gone in there, and there's hardly a thing gone in.
I know, I've been in.
It's all gone in storage. Well, it's terrible.
That wonderful collection of tools.
It hasn't got much history, has it? Oh, the tools.
That tool collection.
That was wonderful.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah. You never saw that.
An amazing collection of tools.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, dear. Going back years.
Yeah.
No.
All I know is I went in more than a couple of times because I was interested in that tool, the tools in there.
Wow.
And I went in there two or three occasions to specifically to see a particular tool. And there was always somebody there to talk to.
That's right. And then they put other exhibitions on. The war one, I give them quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that was good in there.
It's typical council. For years, as far as I can remember, on the boating days down the lake, you had lamp irons, which you knocked in, and then you put this coloured tape round it, make it so people didn't walk over boats. Now, you're not allowed to knock the lamp irons in. Because you might damage some Roman remains.
Really?
Now, if you think about it, the way that lake was made, it was dug out, and all the soil was piled up on the sides of the bank.
So,
Now,
I don't remember that. It must be about three foot of soil
barrelled up on the sides of the banks from that digging out when you're the size of that lake. And if you... You'd have to put the bloody lamp arm right the way down before you go anywhere near the Roman remains. What a lot of rubbish.
Guy, I actually remember that being done.
What?
The lake.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Do you remember the lake being dug?
Yeah.
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 Well, I thought it was...
We lived in St Julian's Road.
That was my dad's walk on a Sunday.
We'd always walk down to the lake, and I can see them now working on that lake.
Digging,
But I didn't see soil stacked up the sides.
It was Sir Mortimer Wheeler, wasn't it?
Is it around about
29? No, wasn't that? He done the excavations, he'd done the course, you know, the causeway from King Harry Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I remember on one of these walks actually seeing both the Mortimers working on that.
Ah.
Yeah. They was doing the flat bit, not on the wall. In fact, that's the only place I've ever seen a red squirrel in those trees that are going up the causeway.
So you remember digging it out?
Digging it out,
I do. 1920s.
In fact, I've got a photo at home with my wife's family in a little brook that ran more or less from the pub. You know where
the
fighting cocks, you come over the bridge.
Yeah.
There was a little brook run across there. Right,
yeah.
You know where the loos are? It came across the actual photo. The brook would have come across there, and they're playing in that brook.
Yeah.
And that was before ever the.
You remember Les Hull?
Yeah.
Yeah. He lived in Silver.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me that there was a little wall across the stream somewhere, and his mother used to say to him when he took his little sister down, "Don't you let her go on that wall." And of course she did and went into the water, got a bit wet. So when he got home, Les got a larrapin, didn't he?
That was probably the bridge between that was a paddling pool. That was built as a paddling pool.
I don't know if you remember, old Les Hull.
Yeah.
He was always out with his loco. He'd never won a prize, really, because it wasn't that marvellous, but it rained. Yeah. I remember on one occasion, I think it was down the park, it was a muggy day, you know, and he was running up and down, and some police women came in their summer blouses, you know, see? And Les says, "Come on, have a ride. So, because he got these three or four girls on there, and halfway up the bloody track, the skies opened up. Now, anybody but Les would have turned around and gone back again, but not Les. He goes up the other end and then comes back. Because when these girls get off, their blouses are stuck to their bodies. What a sight for sore eyes it was. Oh, Les was a character, though, wasn't he?
He taught me how to drive his loco over at St George's. Yeah, Les did.
He was always there with his own loco.
Very nice.
Running for days. Yeah.
What about Pauline Husband? I often wondered about her. Did you know her, did you? Because there aren't many societies that have got trophies with a woman's name on them.
No, that's right.
Actually, there's more than you think, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill.
She's won all the prizes going.
Yeah.
There's been one or two others as well.
But what do you remember of Pauline Husband then? Because I've just heard her name mentioned, nobody knew what she did. It was all straight running, wasn't it?
Yeah, she was down at the gutters quite often, yeah. I mean, it's different. We had a lot of regattas, when you think, didn't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, that August thing was big because you had the straight running and tethered hydroplanes down the other lake.
That's what I could never, I couldn't believe when I put my cabin cruiser there. You know, the first time on the straight run for timing, and I hadn't even timed it, and I just said 2 minutes, and I won it.
I couldn't believe it. I only had one go at straight running, and that was, I got a boat, which I got a feeling it had come to me via Norman Young, I think.
When I remember him. He's a lovely man, he was, yeah.
His son Chris gave me two or three of his boats, you see. Yeah. And one of them was a 40-inch straight runner, basically. Really? And I set it up with radio control, and I came round to talk to Roger, who was up at the end there by the bridge, going with his string, trying to get his boat to start, you know, like that. And so I thought, I waited there with me waders on, right up to here, you know. I waited there for ages, it seemed, and I said, would you mind if I just went? Because it's just electric. All right, he goes, and I sort of go down there, straight through the ball. And he goes, he turned to me, he was disgusted. He turned, you're trying to show me the way, he goes. I thought, this is easy. No, it doesn't do it anymore.
is there any straight running competition still?
No, it's around, but they don't do it here now. And they do it over at Victoria Park.
Because we don't know that August regatta is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, do you remember when you were at the pole one year, we had three Americans come over?
Yeah, it was.
They were on holiday, but they'd come specifically to come at the regatta to see the round the pole. it was a discipline that had died in the States.
Yeah.
Do you remember then?
Okay. Yeah, you wouldn't get in the lake now with wages, would you?
Well, you know when we used to sort of take out the things the boys were putting in the water?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, it's all taking too long, this is, you know. And so I thought, I know, what we'll do is we'll get crates, which are waterproof, so you can put them in there, and you tow them out. But I said, nobody goes in the lake without a stick to lean on, because it just wasn't safe, to be honest. It was, you could get your foot stuck in the mud.
Hmm.
And that was the problem. And if you could easily fall over.
Yeah.
I think old Malcolm fell over in the large lake, didn't he? And he stood up with his waterproof, and he was like weighed down. He must have weighed about 20 stone with all his water in him.
It was no joke, was it?
No, it was actually.
That pole in the centre of the big lake for the round pole was beginning to sort of wobble about a bit, and I know Malcolm made a raft, I think, out some drums or something, and transported some sacks of cement.
That's right, yeah.
And dropped them round this pole to steady it up, and it worked, you know.
But
I always remember Peter used to go out looking for it. We used to say, left for a bit, Peter, right a bit, Peter, then it's all over the bloody thing.
Yeah. But you know, I've got a picture from Model Maker magazine, and it's of the St Albans Regatta, and it's actually on our website.
Is it?
And if you go on there and look under articles, you'll find it's on there. And there's a picture there. And if you read the text, you'll see that the council, we were on the large lake with the regatta, and the council lowered the water for us to have a regatta on. They lowered the water, I think he said 2 feet, but I don't think it was that far. They lowered the water so that we could have the regatta. So that's when they used to care a bit about things.
But it was always an attraction. You know, Sunday morning, there was always usually somebody down there on the lake, and there'd be people standing around watching.
That's right. It was awesome. I mean,
and then when we had the regattas on, there was always that sort of big encampment on that small lake, wasn't it?
I know. I used to go over there, and I was with St Albans Club members for about 2 or 3 years before I joined the club, and sailing my model boats with my son. You know, we would be over there joining. We sort of got to know Dickie and a few others, and in fact,
was that on the small pool?
That was on a small lake. Right. But the number of people turning up for regattas has never been very strong, not just for us.
No, that's right.
And I've never forgotten, I'd organised a regatta. Peter Lambert was secretary, And he turned to me and he said, "Where are all of your boaters? I can only count, I think, 11. And I thought, I'd done well to get 11 out there. Because I know Dickie Deal used to organise the regattas.
Mm.
And when we used to have that bank holiday Monday, August bank holiday Monday, we would have maybe 50 or 60 people, all with boats, all want to take part in the regatta. And you had to really plan it to make it work. It really was a management job, it was. And I devised a plan with some help from somebody else, which solved it. But even so, and then of course you started, suddenly everybody was having exhibitions and doing things on there, and of course it just faded to nothing. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the members we used to have, they were nearly all people that, or should we say, guys whose job was actually using a lathe or a milling machine or doing that at work, wasn't it? They'd all got the sort of knowledge from being trained at work for what they did and got workshops. So,
well, I mean, yeah, one time you left school and you went to work in a factory.
Yeah.
Life, wasn't it? All the factories are gone.
I think they're beginning to regret it, each of the country.
Well,
I,
is there a factory in the town now? Engineering factory?
I'll tell you where there's one. Do you know where Revolution Seals and Bearings are? Over at this sort of London colony almost, on a farm.
Is there?
They used to be down the old brewery site at the bottom of St Albans, down there. Now, just in those farm buildings, there's a bloke's got about three CNC lathes chugging away there. Because I went over one day to get myself some O-rings, and the door opened to reopen, so I stuck my head around there to see what was going on and had a look.
I remember the last sort of little factory I remember closing down in Watford was, do you remember a chap named Hobbs who used to write, he used to write books about model yachting and model boats? Right. He was quite well known, he was.
Dave does ring a bell.
And it was his sister. He opened up this factory, and it was in North Watford. It was just amongst the houses, and it was a place like that. And Norman Spring, because of, I think, his job with, what was the name of the lorry manufacturer? Scammels. He was a sales engineer, I think you'd call it that. But he would go out and get quotes for work, you know, bits they needed and like that. And he must have used this place because he seemed to know them.
Yeah.
And then she was getting on a bit and closed down. And we were invited to go over there just see if there was anything we wanted, you know. But it was like an open invitation to go over there and, you know, look, we're closing down, have what you like. But in fact, you ended up finding out you had to pay for everything. So I think they said that at the beginning, you know, it might have been a bit different. And eventually, I mean, I had my eye on a little collet lathe, which got a whole load of collets, and I thought I could use that, you know. And anyway, I made a bid for it, but somebody came in and just bought everything, and that was the end of it. You know, and sort of that all closed down. That's the last place I remember, which would take on sort of small job stuff now. I've got one of his books on model yachts.
Oh.
And yeah, he was A.E. Hobbs, that was his name.
Tell you what I've got is a full set of model shipwright.
Oh, really?
Including the last four, which they published an annual hardback.
Oh, right.
Coffee table size book.
Yes.
A full set.
They were just a bit too scale for me. I went through read through them, but I thought, no, not for me.
But the only one I've got, magazine, I've got them on the shelves, and I will pick one off the shelf and just, you know, sit and read it. It's the only one I do that with. Never, ever go and get a model engineer down unless I'm looking for something specific. Yeah. Never pick it down.
I find the narrow gauge magazines good for that. Guy gave me a lot of...
For the 16mm one?
16mm one, and I ended up passing them over to somebody else.
It's like the Gimra, the Gauge 1 magazine.
I kept back a few.
No, I had a 16mm layout down at Monte Carlo. But all the engines I built and bought for it, I hardly ever run on it, so I thought, this is ridiculous. Because, I've said before, once I finish the model, it's got to run, but that's it. I'm not really interested anymore. I mean, that's why I went over the traction engines, because I got bored of going round and round the same old track on the loco. You know, I thought, so, you know, I built the loco, it's nice, it's good, it works, but what's the point of it? So I went over the traction engines, because then you can wander around all over the place, you know, with them.
Your Avery that you built, that was a beaut.
Avery?
Yeah, that was a magnificent piece of work.
I built that from photographs and research.
Yeah, I remember you doing it.
Built my own patterns, and the only bit I didn't do, I made all the bits for the boiler, it was a steel boiler. The only bit I didn't do was the welding, because I'm not a qualified welder.
Mm.
But Ken Cheese had welded it for me, because he was. Mm. And the bloke, I sold it, actually. And the bloke I sold it, he said, I've been trying to get hold of one of these for ages. He says, and now I've got one. He said, I've got one of the best ones in the world. He said, he said, oh, it's a wonderful machine. And so I sent him the General Assembly drawing, which I'd made, and the gear layout, so you could have a look. And he wrote back, so he said, I've never seen any joint engines. Engineering drawings like this before.
Yeah. Well, people do that.
So that was all complimentary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a splendid piece of work.
He's rang me up several times since, said, well, that was wonderful. I also made a 16mm Garrett, 040-040 Garrett, with American outline chimney and that sort of thing. Sold that to a chap up in Nottingham somewhere, and it's got to the point now where his wife's always ringing me up and asks me how I am, you know. He was so over the moon with it, you know. So he bought another
electric
one off me.
Electric.
So I haven't got any of those now, 16mm stuff. Sold it all.
That's a good point, actually, because you get so often you find that somebody who you knew has got a lot of, you know, has got a lot of stuff, and when they die, inevitably we're all going to, you know, they say, oh no, we'll look to do this and we do that, you know, and then 5 years later you find out it's been put into the garage, which is damp and all the rest of it, and then you find most of it's got dusty, and you think, well, and, you know, I say now, if you're not going to use it, just sell it now and pass it on.
That chap, was he in North London, has got all his engines. What's his name?
Brian
Looker.
Yeah. How many has he got?
Well, he's 70 got, already, right?
70
already.
There was 10 we saw. He's got another dozen in the building at various stages. He's got 30 that are finished, painted. And then he's got, I think he's got a 5 1/4... He may have more than 1 5-inch, and he's got a 7 1/4.
Yeah.
And he makes most of it himself.
Why doesn't he finish them as he goes along?
Well, he builds them
in mass, doesn't he?
He builds them in mass.
He builds them like a production
job on
trouble,
it.
You know, he's going to sell them.
You build about three, and then, so you've got a production job turning wheel.
But you think they'd all come to a certain stage. But they're not. They all want various things. He had brought 10. But they were different.
There were four different ones. Four different types.
The trouble is, you get carried away. Because I made a D. I said, I'm going to make a D. And there ain't right D's. And I got the book and I looked at the drawing for the cylinder block. He's got this twin cylinder with twin sort of cross between piston and slide valves, and I couldn't figure out in my own mind how it was, so I redrew it and sorted out in my own mind how it worked, did a proper drawing of it, and the only way I'm going to make this is I'm going to have to make a fixture. I'm not going to do it holding it in a vice or anything like that, so I made myself a fixture to sit on a cube. I've got a cube on the milling machine so I could turn it and come a different size of it, and I got a piece of brass from somewhere and I machined it down to give me the sides, thinking I'd cut a couple of pieces off, and when I got it done I found I could cut four blocks off, So I've got my fixture worked out. I've got the four blocks, and I'll just do one. It's just a simple sort of drilling operation, not very difficult at all. So I did all four, and in no time, in a relatively short amount of time, I got four of these cylinder blocks, all drilled, bored, everything. So I thought, and then I said, I'll make four engines. I've got two finished, and I've got two part finished. I did one in the Wainwright, that very complicated Wainwright lining. I've done one in the British Rail black. Yeah, so the one I'm fiddling with now, I'm going to do in Southern Railway green, I think.
Yeah, because I mean, with the sort of the guys doing these things getting a bit older, they're finding that the 5-inch locos are just getting too heavy for them. So gauge one is getting very popular.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But gauge one, I belong to the gauge one society for a while now, but it's very much the majority of people buy.
Yeah.
They don't make, they buy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they will. I don't forget going over to John Fuller's at Tring one Sunday morning to get together. And I parked my car up and I got out. And there was a bloke behind said, could I hold this for him for a minute? And he got a sack truck and he was putting boxes on with carriages in. And it wasn't until he'd started to unpack them, I realised what he'd got. And I've forgotten the brand now, but he's got these beautiful carriages.
Not Aster, was it?
Yeah.
Aster.
Somebody's Aster. But I'd seen them for sale at nearly £1,000 a pop. Yeah. He got six of these things, and an Aster Loco, I know, is over five.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think when I was a kid, I had the track, but I got bored with it. I think I'd get bored running gauge one.
Well, they seem to enjoy it. What can one say?
I think, like a lot of these things, the enjoyment is the chat that you get when you go there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is a challenge, isn't it, to the old brain to get something when you're making it. I think a lot of the guys with Meccano, they're a sort of frustrated engineers, they are, in some cases, where you've got all the bits so you could assemble them and put them together and do, because they do some real fancy stuff. I don't know whether you ever go round to the Meccano side.
They are brilliant.
But there's some real clever.
Well, that chap who got the German boat, the American boat that we had in our show with them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a piece of work.
Yeah.
And there used to be a Belgian bloke came with the West London lot. Some very fancy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this Meccano thing, and I think it was this chap, and he made a crane, and it was one of these ones which sort of telescopic type thing, so it's a thing like that, and it erected itself.
Yeah, so
you started it off, and it erected itself. It did.
Just like they do in full size.
Yeah, it took about 10 minutes, but I used to think, my God, you know. It was a hell of a job. Peter Goddard is very prolific. He does block setting cranes.
Yeah.
He specialised in that enormous cranes does. And the West London Meccano Society, they actually publish Meccano models. If you've got a number 10 set, you've got a bit of a starter to it all. That's about all.
You really want about six number 10 sets and a box of spare bits.
You really need a lot. Do you remember one of our AGMs, I got Peter to come down here, come down to the club. Must have been about 2000, 2001. And he came down with a crane and he assembled it. And I think it was about 12 feet across, 12 feet long like that. And I talked him into coming, which he was happy to do, and I said, there'll be about 50 of us, and so I told him about this, and afterwards I said, what do you think? He said, there were loads of people there, weren't there? I said, yeah, I said there'd be about 50. He said, yes, but I didn't believe you. He goes, and if you look in the attendance book I brought along, you can see how the numbers have dropped off.
Haven't they?
We're sort of 50...
I found the numbers, it's quite disappointing, and it's the same old faces really turning up.
No, I mean, Malcolm, I think dogs are a dying breed, frankly.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because you when you look round, I mean, I remember going to the, I think it was a Cage One, they had an exhibition in the hall, didn't they, in St Albans, in the arena. And I remember going there, and I went up in the balcony, and looking down, it was all grey or bald heads.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But no, I think when you think of it, when I joined St Albans, there must have been at least 10 of us building locos.
Yeah.
And I mean, it used to be the same up North London. I think there were loads. Now, there's hardly anybody building.
Well, I remember it at one of our committee meetings, say, reviewing an exhibition, probably had been maybe 82, 83, somewhere around there. And I think it may have been at the start of when you had to have your boiler tested. And anyway, it was said then that there were 50 working 5-inch gauge locos in the club. 50.
Well, the exhibitions in Harmony used to fill that hall with locos.
It was, I mean, there were three halls there. It was big.
He had quite a number of locos, old Jim Shatler. We wouldn't have them tested. No. So we said, well, you can't run public, Jim, without certificate. You'll never go to another club and play.
But, I mean, on the marine side, there was loads of boats.
Yeah.
You used to have a big boat section, didn't
you? See, up North London, I mean, they've got a lovely site up there, I mean, loads of track and that. But what people are doing, they're buying these Chinese things from electric sort of thing. And all they want to do is run round behind it. But, you know, one of the things we've noticed is they want to run round and enjoy, but they won't come and do any work to make certain the track's okay and it's all tidy and nice up there.
Mm. So that's the same in any club, isn't it? They join the club.
It's money, isn't it?
Everybody wants to contribute to running the club.
It doesn't matter what it is. The bridge club, the golf club, it's all the same. About 20% of the members do all the work.
That's always the case.
And it's the same gang every time.
Every time.
If you come up to Marshall House, it's the same group.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're buying, they're just selling £5,000 these engines from China.
Yeah.
And I think back to my first locomotive, an 060, coal-fired, 2.5-inch gauge, 060 tender loco, Southern made. And that would pull me and several other people. It was only 2.5-inch gauge, but it was 060. And I used that on the arrow track, went round and round out the arrow track with it in London of times. And what did I sell it for? £26. I know if when I sold it, £26 was a lot more money than what it is today. It was, I suppose, equivalent maybe to 60 or 70. I don't know.
I go to all the Druitt Neat exhibitions at the auctions. But basically, because I'm watching the prices that models are fetching because they're valuing the society collection. But I see these locos go out. There's nothing goes out for hundreds. It's all thousands. Yeah. And I was seeing a couple not make their reserve at 100 there, and they've reached £100,000. I mean, those are big. You get the big 15-inch stuff, 10
you know how much I got for that Avery, don't you?
Your traction engine.
I sold it, £3,000.
Bloody hell, somebody got a snip on that.
Hey? Mm. I know, the bloke bought it, paid £5,950 for it, nearly £6,000 for it. So the dealer made nearly 50% profit.
A half decent 4-inch traction engine will fetch over $10,000.
Well, I mean, I also sold them a two-inch Fowler compound 3-speed. I can't remember the name of it now. Traction engine.
Yeah.
2-inch compound 3-speed. I got 4,000 for that.
Yeah, the small traction engines don't fetch so much money.
Mm.
But I mean, the locos all go.
Yeah.
There'll be And they fetched
well,
the
amazing money. I did do too bad with the Hunslet. I sold that to Tony Mason, and he gave me $4,000 for it. The Hunslet, the 5-inch gauge Hunslet, and then he gave another £800 for the driving truck.
The thing is, though, if you maintain something like that and keep it it's an investment, isn't it?
I don't know where it's gone now. It's not in the club anymore, is it?
No, it went. Tony Mason has sold that before he died.
Did he?
Yes, he'd sold it.
Because he had lots of other ones.
And said no, it went to auction.
Well, that was his favourite. That's the one he always used to come out with.
Yeah.
That's what I always wondered what happened to Thrales Locos.
Well, we had the Williams Thrales, didn't we? Because
his wife gave the club.
At least one loco, but what happened to it? Higher than that, two and a half gauge.
Actually, that was in the club. It wasn't working because there was something missing.
Oh.
And it was actually after I made the contact with the daughter-in-law, and I contacted her again. And I said that we had this loco, which we'd had for God knows how many years. And I said, what do you want to do with it? Because technically it's yours, you know.
Mm.
And she said, well, if you've had it that long, you might as well keep it. So we'll do what you like with it. I said, well, we were planning on selling it to somebody who's going to do it up. And she said, oh, yeah, you keep it. So, you know, that was gone sort of thing, you know.
That's fairer than a lot of people do. We were talking about the other week, Roy. Buying things and selling them for a fortune and not paying the right price for them.
Yeah. We had problems with that. What was his name? What was that chap who owned the one of the locos we used? It was used as a club loco for a while. Chimera.
Oh, yeah.
Chimera.
That was 6-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Time to go, is it?
It's 4:30, yes?
Yeah, it's time to go.
Oh, right.
You're out tonight, are you? Where are you going then, Noel?
Auburn Arena.
Oh, what's on there?
James Howard or something.